Father, we come to you and to be able to start our talk with you with the word Father means so much more than we give it credit for. We are a family and you have given us life. You've embraced us as your children. You've bought us at a price. And Lord, we want to have everything you have for us. So this morning, as we come to your word, as we come to hear what you have to share with us, we pray that you will be central. Your truth will be central. And we will be enriched and our lives and the lives of others will be changed as a result. We ask this for your glory. Amen. 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 I had a flick back through the Freedom in Christ book before I started preparing for this morning because I thought, I forget. I forget lots of things. And I just wanted to remember what we'd gone through up to now. And I've just sort of skimmed through. And do you remember what it started off with? It started off with our standing, our position before God as Christians. If you have asked Jesus into your life, if you have said, I want to follow you, I want to be in your family, I want you in my life, then our position is this. We are significant. We're secure. And we're accepted. Now, the thing is, most people spend their lives pursuing those things. And Jesus just offers them to us and said, here you go, have them. And many people are consumed trying to get significance through what they do, or to feel security in the circumstances that face them in life, or to be accepted by those they long to be loved by. And Jesus just gives that to us. So that's our position. We're secure, we're significant, and we're accepted. And then we went on to see that, you know, we're not just sinners. We used to be, but we're now saints. Anyone who has given their life to God has been made perfect. We are saints. Yes, we sometimes sin. But we're new creations. The old is gone. The new has come. We are new in him. And you know what? God does not condemn us. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we choose to believe the truth. And to do that, we need to exercise faith because the truth in God's word doesn't always reflect how we feel. So we need to exercise the faith that what God says is true and what we feel isn't necessarily truth. And then we looked at the worldview versus the biblical view. And the reality that we still need to contend with our human desires on a day-to-day basis. We still battle with the flesh, don't we? We still have those things that we're challenged by. And we need to walk by the Spirit. And when we do that, the fruit of the Spirit is evident in our lives. Love, joy, peace, kindness, faithfulness, self-control, kindness. All those things that are just natural when we walk with the Spirit. That's the life that God wants us to know. We went on to look at demolishing strongholds, challenging the mental strongholds that hold us back. Those things that we believe to be true for us that aren't. They're not consistent with what God says is true. But they're in our life. And we need to take a thought captive. And I love Liam is too, but at night he's saying, take every thought and catch it. And he goes, bye-bye. Chuck out all of that sin. And I just think, yeah, just catch those thoughts, those lies that would hold us back. Say goodbye to them and step into the future that Jesus has paid for us. You know, Satan battles for our minds. He battles for them. Don't believe his lies. Hold strong to the truth of God's word. And then we went on to look at handling emotions, getting free from our past and stepping into the current and future freedom that we have in Christ. Then we looked at forgiving from the heart. That's really tough. It's a challenge for so many of us. Really, really forgiving. And then walking in freedom every day. Growing as a disciple to be more like Christ. Maturing in our walk. You know, when I was last here speaking, I got people up from 4 weeks old to 90s. And the natural progression of maturing, of growing up. To take personal responsibility as we grow up. Renewing our minds, replacing those lies, knowing what's true, and taking the long-term view. Don't expect it to happen overnight. We need to train ourselves to distinguish evil from good. We need to see the counterfeit and see what's real and grab hold of what's real, go for the real deal. But as I looked over all of that, and I was thinking, most of these things, most of the elements of freedom in Christ, they've been between us and God, haven't they? They've been about us understanding our identity in Christ. They've been about how we relate to God, how we understand who He is and the difference that makes. Understanding our position in Him and understanding what that means for our approach to life, how we approach life. But then this next bit, I think, is where it really makes a significant difference, because that's about us. That's good. But that's not why we were saved. It is to have relationship with God, but He's given us more. And we cannot have a righteous relationship with God to the exclusion of others. You know, some monks go off into monasteries and just spend their lives just between them and God. That's not the plan. That wasn't God's plan for us as a church. A right relationship with God should automatically lead to right relationships with others, with one another. And that's the focus of what we're going to consider this morning. Relating to others. And it's been challenging going through this, because it's one thing knowing the truth, and it's another thing reflecting on my lifestyle. And I always do that when I'm speaking. And I think, yeah, relating to others. Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40, is what Jesus said when He was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What's the most important commandment? And He said this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second's like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Everything hangs on those commandments. Love God and love others. Last time we looked at growing up as a follower of Jesus to become more like Him, to be mature. And this time we want to look at what's the difference that makes to those around us and how we relate to them. How, as a follower of Jesus, should we treat others as Jesus demonstrated to us? You know, in recent weeks, Florence has been talking about what it means to be a disciple, doesn't it? The difference of becoming a Christian and being a disciple, a follower, actually making a difference in our day-to-day life. And as disciples of Christ, we must assume responsibility for our character. And we must seek to meet the needs of others around us, rather than the other way around. So much we look at our needs and think, why aren't people meeting my needs? Or we look at the characters of other people and we think, why are they like that? And it's actually the other way around. And, you know, I love that we had the clip about grace. I was saying to Jenny yesterday when she phoned me up and asked me what songs we should have. And I said, I don't know, go for it. Let's see what God tells you. Because this is what the sermon's about, but we'll see. And I hadn't talked about that, but grace. Understanding grace. We love because He first loved us. We give freely because He freely gave to us. We're merciful because He's been merciful to us. We forgive because He first forgave us. Romans 14, verse 4 says this, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Someone else's character, that the other people we relate to, their character is not our concern. That's between them and God. Philippians 2, 3-5 says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And we know what He did. He gave Himself up for others. He put others first. He sacrificed everything for others. So we're responsible for our own character. And we're responsible for meeting the needs of others. But that requires a lot of self-awareness, doesn't it? And it's important that we're aware of our own sin. Do you know, there's loads of passages in the Bible where nobody has really seen God, but some people came close. And even those who were, you know, in visions or whatever else, the very concept of being in the presence of God, they thought, I'm unclean, I can't live, I've just seen God. Or Peter, after the great catch of fish, he said, get away from me, I'm a sinful man. He realized that this guy, Jesus, was powerful, was God, was more than just a man. In the presence of God, we start to realize how far short we fall of who he is. We think we've no right to be in the presence of this almighty God. When we see God for who he is, we become aware of our sin. We don't become aware of the sin of other people. When we get closer to God, we realize how far short we fall. And I don't know if you remember, but there's lots of times we've had sermons where we've had man, a little picture of a cliff edge, and man on one side separated from God over here. And there's often people speak about the things we try and fill that gap with, like going to church and being religious and praying and doing good deeds, and they all just fall short. And then we put the cross across the bridge, don't we, as a bridge, and we're able to walk across on the bridge. And that's the gospel message, but it falls short of the full picture because it doesn't fully embrace this idea that the more we realize how sinful we are before God, the bigger that gap seems to get. And it just seems to get out of reach. And when we're focused on ourselves and the holiness of God, we just think, we can't attain that. But the truth of grace is the cross grows. The work of Jesus on the cross fills that gap. And there is no gap between us and God because of that. But the reality is, if our focus is on us and how far short we fall from his standard, it's not unobtainable, but we feel so much less entitled to that grace. But the truth is, the gap's filled. However, that's when we're focused on ourselves, when we're self-aware, when we understand how we stand before God. But if we're lukewarm in our relationship with God, if our walk with God isn't really in line with him, we tend to overlook our own sin. And it's so much easier to see the sins of others then. Our perspective is slightly different. Luke 6:42 says this, "How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, take first the plank out of your own eye, then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." In every relationship, we have rights and responsibilities. And sometimes we don't put the emphasis in the right place. You know, the Bible says, there's that passage about wives submit to your husbands and husbands love your wives, and as Christ loved the church in Ephesians, yeah? Do husbands have the right to expect their wives to be submissive to them? Or do they have a responsibility to love their wives as Christ loved the church? Do wives have a right to expect their husbands to love them? Or do they have a responsibility to love and respect their husbands, who in turn have the responsibility of being the head of the home? Do parents have the right to expect their children to be obedient? Or do they have a responsibility to bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord and to discipline them when they're disobedient? Does being a member of the church give you the right to criticize others? Or does it give you a responsibility to submit to the leadership and authority over you and relate to one another with the same love and acceptance that you've received from Christ? You see, if we emphasize rights above responsibilities in any relationship, we're sowing the seed of destruction. That's how to end relationships. That's how to damage relationships. And Satan will always try to tempt us to focus on our rights, because he's out to destroy relationships. If he can break our relationships, either in our families or in the church or with anyone, he's delighted. That's not what God wants. We need to be focused on our responsibilities rather than on our rights. Learning not to focus constantly on the failings of others and choosing to think well of them, that's so much easier in the long term. It's not natural, but it's easier. than always feeling let down and badly treated. Should we express our needs? Or should we keep them to ourselves? You know, we have needs in every relationship. And if we have needs that aren't being met in a relationship, it's important that we let people know. It's important that we let people know what they are. However, a need must be stated as a need and not as a judgment. We reap what we sow. And, you know, there's a lot I wanted to say today, and as we go into our home groups, we're going to be studying a lot more about this week. And I'd encourage you to get the book, because I'm going to do something slightly different this week to what I normally do. You know how I normally run over to 12:15? I'm not doing that today. So I'm just going to ask us to consider, what difference has it made, having gone through the Freedom in Christ material, with how we're relating to others? Has it made a difference? We reap what we sow. God has placed us in a community because that's how we grow. And every one of us needs to be loved. Every one of us needs to be accepted. Every one of us needs to be affirmed. Do you know, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we cannot sincerely help somebody else without helping ourselves in the process. Have you ever just phoned somebody up or gone and visited them and done something nice for them? You feel great afterwards. It's actually a blessing. And yet, we're kind of waiting for someone to do it for us a lot of the time. But when you do actually give your life, your time to somebody else, it's amazing how blessed you feel. Luke 6:38 says this, "Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." If you want somebody to love you, love somebody. If you want a friend, be a friend. Let's see what life looks like when we actually apply this stuff. Because theory is useless unless it's put into practice. I'm just going to read a bit that was in the book. And again, we'll probably look at some of this again. But, you know, very, very many times we give and we don't get back. Or we feel we've put the effort in and we wonder why. And I'm just going to read directly what was in the book. It said this, "People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you're successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The biggest people with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest people with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. People favor underdogs but follow only top dogs. Fight for the underdog anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help but may attack you if you help them. Help people anyway. Give the world the best you've got and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you've got anyway." Just think what the relationships in our life and in the world around us would look like if we applied this thinking. And thinking through this, we may realize that we need to relate differently to our friends. We may need to relate differently to our families, our spouses, our work colleagues. How can we change how we relate to others for the better? How can we better identify and meet the needs of those around us? I just want to ask you to consider these things. Think about the people you relate to. Identify before God. Pray about them. And just see, is there somebody you need to go and talk to? Is there somebody you need to say sorry to in person? Is there somebody you want to actually change how you relate to them? Let's actually do it, not just think about it. God has such a fantastic life for us. And God has so much more for us. But we need to be applying this day by day in our lives. Okay. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. We're going to have the folk from the Sunday schools back in. And you're going to understand in a minute why I'm cutting short a little bit. But we've got an announcement for the church today as well. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. And then if you could, if you're thinking of nipping out, I know one or two had to go, but just hang on for a minute because we've got something to share with you as a church. Thanks.